Hi, my name is Allison Mead, and welcome to LAFPI's podcast series. The Los Angeles Female Playwrights Initiative is dedicated to encouraging and promoting the work of female playwrights, and today I'm going to be speaking with Kelleher Walsh, whose play Year of the Rabbit is currently playing at the Atwater Village Theater. Kelleher Walsh is a member of Ensemble Studio Theater, and her plays include Appointed Limits, Crazy Dog Falls, and Idols of the Cave. Her new play, Year of the Rabbit, was named the inaugural winner of the biennial Kentucky Women Writers Conference Prize for Women's Playwrights. As an actor, Kelleher has performed on and off Broadway and at regional theaters across the country. She was recently seen at the Old Globe in Six Degrees of Separation. She's one of the founding members of the New York theater company Dear Knows and is currently working on a chamber musical about graffiti artists. So welcome, Kelleher.
Thank you.
Well, Year of the Rabbit begins with the character Lu, a Vietnamese woman who moves between the worlds and acts as a kind of connective tissue in the play. I wonder if you could talk a little bit about her character and how her voice evolved.
She's my, as you say, my connective tissue throughout the play, and she's very much of a shaman-like character who goes through and in and out of time. She, to me, is also sort of the embodiment of a kind of a goddess figure who basically comes down to earth in a way and lives through human suffering as a mother, really, on one level, but really as a woman, primarily as a woman, but also as a mother. And she evolved, it's really hard to say how she evolved. I think the character actually started out as a black woman, mm-hmm. and it was wonderful that way. It was, we had an amazing reading doing it that way and everything, but I really felt that the crux of the play, in a way, was the combination of the Vietnam War and the Afghanistan conflict, or I would say war, but why not call it conflict, since everyone else does. And I really felt that I needed that woman spirit, that female spirit, not necessarily woman, but a feminine spirit, mm-hmm. that was somehow involved in both wars. So she is that character. And when I finally found her, she just lived through me. I was obsessed with her. I could have written novels and plays and on about her. I always joke that I want to do, Lou and Her Relatives as a spin-off, because she is just, to me, she was, it was like stepping into a world of women that were just extraordinary at knowing how to survive and wanting to survive and surviving with such dignity and strength and love and humor and all of the above. I mean, I just was blown away by, these women who had experienced war on the deepest levels and then were able to go on. So she is that character for me.
And you also use Chinese zodiac signs to connect some of the play's events.
Well, actually, they're Vietnamese zodiac signs, for the Year of the Rabbit.
Got it.
Which is a Chinese zodiac sign. As any Vietnamese will tell you, that's not a Vietnamese zodiac sign.
I know
it isn't. But Americans' version of the zodiac signs are very much connected with the Chinese zodiac sign. That's how we, when we play with zodiac signs and we dabble in Eastern, our Eastern, dabbling with or study of, we usually connect with the zodiac signs from Chinese. And the Vietnamese do not have a rabbit. A lot of them are similar, but they don't have a rabbit. They have a cat.
Interesting. Okay.
But I wanted to have the rabbit because the rabbit, to me, is the symbol of fertility. I think, basically, it's pretty universal, the symbol of fertility. Mm-hmm. And I felt that the three women in this play were all trapped by and yet deeply in love with and involved with, and that's their samsara, kind of speak. Mm-hmm. Their suffering is the wanting to be fertile, both in having babies and also in love, and wanting to have fertility in their life. Mm-hmm. And also it's a symbol to me of the earth right now. Now I'm getting very heady, but forgive me for this. But it's also the symbol of the earth for me right now, and the deep need that the earth, or that all of us in a global way, really need to have that part of ourselves reawakened.
The part that is reverential toward the earth?
Sorry, say it again?
The part that's reverential toward the earth?
Yes, that, if that's, you know, if you want to put it in, you know, ecologist sort of terms, but I think also not just toward the earth, but toward each other.
I see.
You know,
okay.
the a sense of that fertility as opposed to, you know, to rebalance that a little bit. I mean, of course, you can't have rebirth without destruction. I mean, that's just the way it is. But to just rebalance it a little bit more so that it's not all destruction.
Well, the play, as you mentioned earlier, connects the Vietnam War with the more recent conflict in Afghanistan. And I wondered, other than violence, what else do you feel connects these two wars?
Generations of love. I think that in every war, that with all the destruction you've got, you also, on the other side of it, the dual side of it, the, you know, the destruction is the shadow side, but then there's this, the other side. You could argue about which is the shadow and which isn't. But that in war, in times of terrible, terrible stress and conflict, you're always going to have deep, deep love, because people, that's what people use to get by. And so Lou, in terms of the plot, and I don't want it to be a spoiler or anything, but Lou falls in love with a black American, African-American GI, and she gets pregnant, she ends up losing the baby, and then they are separated. And then when she comes to America, she finds him again. Mm-hmm. And they have another child. And this child is the child that ends up being a fighter pilot in the Afghanistan conflict. So that in itself is just a plot connection.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, really, what I think saying on another level is the generations of war that have gone on. I come from a military family, and I mean, my military family goes back, you know, 100 years, if not more than that. I mean, my family fought in the Revolutionary War, for God's sake, you know. And you think generation upon generation upon generation, and you never hear really about the women that
right.
much, you know. And now, which I find fascinating, is that women are becoming fighter pilots,
mm-hmm.
you know, and they're the ones that are killing people. And you know, these women are amazing. I mean, these women are brilliant warrior type women. I mean, they're just amazing. But I wonder what the psychological cost is to them. I mean, you know, they're very young when they're there, and of course you don't want a fighter pilot that's over the age of, you know, 25 who's thinking about their kids at home or this or that. I don't know. You know, you want somebody who really, you know, doesn't feel like they're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I wonder what, I'm curious, I'm just fascinated by women in the military. I find that absolutely an amazing psychological labyrinth of whatever. It's just fascinating to me.
Well, that was actually my next question. Here the Rabbit has been called a meditation on war. And you've had some personal experience with the military, obviously. So how did that help shape the play?
Well, I think it shaped the play all around. Like I said, I grew up in a military family, and one of the things that I see a great duality in military families and military people is this duality of, especially when they get older. I think when they're much younger, it's like, yes, you know, we're good and they're bad.
Right.
But when people get older in the military, you really see that they, because they're extremely intelligent people, you know, basically in charge, and they see that it's not as simple as that. They understand that. I had an uncle that's a general in the Army and was very high up in the Army. He did 3 tours in Vietnam. And he, when we started to go into Iraq, he was like, he was totally against it, totally against it, as most of the Army was going into Iraq. They were very against it. Now, obviously, some people weren't, but a great deal of them were. So I've been very privileged to see that kind of consciousness and duality within our military. And right now I find it interesting because our military is, you know, as opposed to the Vietnam War, where the military was so demonized, and the boys going over there, coming back, were so demonized, and no compassion for them whatsoever, in a way. And yet now we have such compassion for the military, and we're so like, you know, honor our troops and support our troops and all that sort of thing. I just find it, you know, a really interesting difference between the two wars. And yet at the same time, I see people coming back and, you know, people that cannot, that don't have the ability, that have PTSD and stuff like that, that they don't have the ability to readjust and to, now I'm veering into another subject. So anyway, it was very, very, crucial for me,
As I understand it, the Year of the Rabbit is meant to become a peaceful year after the aggression of the tiger, if I have that right. So I wondered what you wanted audiences to take away as they were kind of filtering out of the theater.
Wow, you did your homework.
That's
really good. Oh, you have no idea how I agonized over the years, over the Zodiac years, you know, what meant what to me and who and I, and, you know, I was switching them all over the place and, you know, all that sort of thing. I didn't want to end the play in just the conflict of war and the destruction that it did. I wanted to end the play in kind of a meditation of fertility, both the fertility of the mind and the body. And, you know, so the last scene is, well, you know, people have a lot of different feelings about that last scene. And, you know, the last scene for me is that meditation of what would it be like if we could evolve away from war. What would that feel like? What I just wanted to have a little tiny little drop of what that might be like, of that sense of curiosity and that sense of love and belonging and lack of fear, a lack of fear, but more a sense of wonder. And I just, you know, wanted to have a little tiny drop of it, like an eyedropper full, you know. Yeah.
Well, I always like to finish up by asking what is next for people. So I mentioned earlier that you were working on a chamber musical about graffiti artists, and that's very provocative, so I wondered when we could expect that.
I'm not quite sure. I'm probably going to start back on it. This has been so intense because I'm also acting in this thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I'm also directing something right now over at IAMA. So I'm hoping to maybe put that into the EST Winterfest.
Okay.
Coming up. However, I'm also working on another play about Puritan, starting with Puritan women and their sense of sexuality and their sense of desire. And really the desire line that takes them through to modern times. Sort of a generational thing also, where women experience, where what is it that American women experience in terms of sexual desire and politics. So, whatever.
Very interesting. I mean, obviously, you're sort of like a polymath, very interested in a lot of different subjects, but interesting how you put them together. So everybody should go see You're the Rabbit, which is going to run for another couple of weeks. But thank you, Kelliver, so much for taking the time to be with me today.
Well, Allison, thank you. It was a real pleasure.
You're the Rabbit runs at the Atwater Village Theater until October 28th. It's a production of Ensemble Studio Theater and is directed by James Eckhouse. You're the Rabbit stars Ashanti Brown, Elise Din, Peter McKenzie, Misak Taylor, hopefully I pronounced his name right, and Kelliver Walsh. For more information about tickets, please visit www.ensemblestudiotheaterla.org/boxoffice.html or call the box office at 323-644-1929. For more information about LAFPI's resources, activities, and opportunities, please visit www.lafpi.com.